everybody, and welcome to another episode of Board Shenanigans. But no, this isn't another episode. Fuck. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody, and welcome to an episode of Board Shenanigans to go. Your greasy fast food burger to your organic healthy option of your regularly scheduled Board Shenanigans episode. Now, as always, I'm joined by a member of the clergy, but this week I'm joined by the glorious Brent. Family member of Board Shenanigans, long-time listener, oftentimes the butt of many jokes, so tell everybody hi, Brent.
Fuck you, Cody.
You cannot.
Good. So, I don't want to, you fat fuck.
Oh, why, thank you. I wouldn't want to fuck you either. So, now that we know who's fucking who here, or not being fucked by who, actually, I have no interest in having sex with you. I was going to make a sex joke, but I don't want to have sex with you. I'm sorry.
I'm glad. That makes me very happy that you do not want to fornicate with me. That would be very creepy.
You know, the moments when you reach that understanding in your friendship where you're like, yeah, you know what? I mean, I could do better than you if I wanted to, and just not interested in your peen.
Oh, I was thinking it was more along the lines of, I mean, drunken party night may have happened, but it's just not what I really want. I'm not going to drink around you because of it. You're like that girl that's at the bar and you're like, man, I could probably get drunk enough that I could just fuck her tonight. But do I really want... I think I'd rather just go home and masturbate.
Well, that's fun when you reach that level of your friendship, you know, where your friends don't want to pick you up at a bar and buy you a drink. They'd rather just go jerk off. They don't need you.
Well, of course they don't need you. Why would they need you to jerk off? That's what the internet is for, Cody. Have you not learned?
I've been doing it wrong for so long now.
Only for like 4 years. We know how you're caveman about it.
Anyway. So, Brent, Brent shot me this text, and he's like, dude, you gotta check this movie out. And I hadn't had a chance to until tonight, so hot off the presses, or hot off the reviews, he texts me, hey, you need to check out this Romeo and Juliet movie.
Which I have hyped as the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It is so bad that you have to watch it. It's cult classic level of craziness.
Now, when he said bad movie, he's like, so bad it's you gotta see it. I was like, okay, so we're talking like Troll 2, we're talking like The Room, we're talking like Plan 9 from Outer Space. I was like, that's what I was expecting. And I was like, okay, well, let's see. So I wind up finding it, and of course I couldn't just go to YouTube and find it. I had to go to like one of those, you know, off-kilter ones where, you know, I paid the absolute price for it. Yeah, I didn't go find a skeezy website and
you may or may not have gotten a virus. And then your computer may have gotten infected, too.
That's true. Now, whenever it came up, I didn't realize until I found it, I didn't know it was a trauma movie. Now, once I found out it was a trauma movie, I kind of had a little bit of a disclaimer to know what to expect. And for those of you not that don't know, trauma's pretty much known for making schlock flicks. That's what they do. Toxic Avenger, like all 15 of them have come from there, which if you've ever seen a Toxic Avenger movie, you kind of know what you're in for. You know, it's a lot of sex jokes, a lot of really over the top violence. You know, it's schlock movie. They're okay. I've never really considered myself their target audience, but I've seen a few of them and it was okay. But man, Jesus Christ. It was so ridiculous that I had to, I watched it and I was like, well, I gotta go look some stuff up about this. And, okay, so it's the, you know, it's your story of Romeo and Juliet, and it's like set in a different setting, and it's not like set in the modern setting, like the one with Leonardo DiCaprio in it or anything. It's that, but they're like all horrible people, and it's almost softcore porn. Because there's a whole lot of boobies in it.
Oh, well, there are also moments of the lesbians actually making love, rubbing each other's crotches. You can't forget about that. What Light Through Yonder Plexiglass Breaks has a great little moment in it, which is quite possibly my favorite line in the whole fucking movie.
I really liked it when he walked in on his dad, and his dad was drunk, and he was like, "Wherefore art thou?" I thought that was kind of clever.
They for a shitty movie that should have never been made, they throw in Romeo and Juliet lines so beautifully. At moments that you shouldn't, that you just don't expect it to happen, they just, bam, it is beautiful. The art, like, it's actually artwork, how horrible this movie is.
I guess the best comparison I can think of is, it's like the Bloodhound Gang. God damn, they make dirty jokes, but they're so clever with it. And this is kind of that level of, I don't know that I ever need to see it again, but I definitely enjoyed watching it this time just because they were pretty clever with the jokes and whatnot. And then, I mean, it was a schlock flick. I mean, I didn't expect it to be fucking Citizen Kane.
Well, but I watched this movie the very first time over 10 years ago, and it has been one of those movies that I've had in my mind that are just so horrible that after about 2 or 3 years, you're like, man, I really need to go find this movie. I really want to watch it again. It took me 10 years, and I finally convinced my wife to watch it with me. And all this hype about how horrible this movie is, how bad it is, she thought I was understating it until she watched it. And now she believes. She is a believer in Tromeo.
It's definitely its own thing. I mean, y'all have got to go check it out. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Like, we're not going to do it justice, but because it has its own feel and vibe and shit to it. But the thing that really got me is, you know, you're watching and you're like, you know, it's not unwatchably bad. Because there was some genuine love and heart that went into this movie. Somebody really cared. And, you know, it was kind of enjoyable for that. I mean, and then plus, you know, you have awesome things like, when the hell else are you gonna see giant demon penis thing in, you know, 3-foot demon penis?
Oh my god.
Didn't know that was a thing.
That was so funny. I loved that freaking part. And it's all a dream, and it starts out with her just, she's freaking hot. Did you know that she actually is she's a musician?
I did not know this.
Yeah, she's a musician. She's actually still making movies, or not movies, she's making music currently. It's just, fuck, what is her name? Jane Jensen. She's a musician currently. She had, let's see, sorry if you couldn't tell, I'm currently looking this up. She has 4 albums out. The most recent was in 2008, and yeah, I'm scared to actually listen to any of them.
Well, and then, like, the other thing that I actually really enjoyed about it was apparently, you know, because obviously somebody cared or dug this. I mean, it's a fun concept, because I like it when they'll take, you know, just standard classic literature, and then they'll, like, you know, go and do something similar to this. You know, they'll go and do something, like, real crazy with it. But, you know, I watched it and I was like, you know, that was kind of fun. Didn't see that coming. There were some real funny jokes in it, like real tongue-in-cheek kind of jokes. Like, I'm going to ruin it, but the funniest one to me was the guy he was shooting at him with a crossbow, and he like asked his wife, he's like, well, hand me my bow, and she immediately hands him like the bow from a violin, and he's like, no, and he's like, here it is. And I thought that was really funny, because it's that stupid little, like, oh, well, homonym jokes.
You know what's really funny about that also is, if you're paying attention to the opening scenes where they're introducing everybody, they have people like his violin teacher. Well, why is his violin teacher? His oboe teacher. Why does his oboe teacher need to be named? And then later in the story, just for that joke, they're not in the rest at all in the rest of the movie, but just for that joke, they're in the opening scene. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, that's what they're doing this entire time. That's kind of strange. And yeah, it's so horrible, but so good.
I like that they really went after, like, just a well-known, you know, classic piece of literature, and just like, well, let's have fun with it. Let's, like, reimagine it. You know, they totally changed the entire ending up. I mean, it was ridiculous. But you know, when I was like going and looking it up, I was there. Actually, apparently, there was a sequel plan for a long time that fell through, where they were going to do something very similar with *Sense and Sensibility* by Jane Austen. And I was like, why didn't that happen? Because, you know, the more I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, that would be great. If like a company like this who just makes fun B movies, because that's all this is.
I can't even say it's a fun B movie. I have to say it's like further down the list, like C or D.
D minus.
Like D minus. It is so close to F, but it's not an F because you will remember this movie forever. Like, this isn't one of those movies that you just watch and you're like, oh, forget it. Like 2 years later, like, what the hell was that movie again? This is one that I guarantee in 5-10 years you're going to be like, fuck, that was such a bad...
The cow monster thing? I mean, I didn't see that coming. Truly did not see that coming. That was one of the first times I've been shocked in a movie in a while. Where it's like, what, you know, that was a thing I just, you know, of all the things I expected, that was not one of the things I really expected.
Okay, here's a question. Did you expect the end?
No, and I actually really loved it because of that. I thought the very end was really clever, which I don't want to ruin it for y'all, because honestly, I think the end's probably the cleverest little part of it.
And if you're paying attention throughout the movie, the end becomes, like, it. You can tell where it's going, but the end itself is just like, it's just one of those movies that you're sitting back and you just gotta say, fuck it.
Which, by the way, I must say, of all the movies I've ever seen, Romeo's masturbation scene, which, yes, I realize I just said that, was probably one of the greatest masturbation scenes I've ever seen in a movie. It was so funny. Like, you know, up to this point, it's like, you know, you always see those in every teen comedy, sex, romance movie. There's always the funny masturbation scene. This one takes the cake. Like, it takes the cake, it takes the bakery, I mean, it takes all the ingredients, the farm that raised them, every bit of it. God damn, it was funny. I think that was when I was like, yeah, I've got to finish this. Like, I can't just ignore this, but, like, that was the part where I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Oh my god, that movie, I don't know what it is about it, but did you also see that, I don't remember where, the Italia Fanta Festival, it won the best film of 97 at that place.
Right, and it's, like, been played in, like, art theaters for years, and, I mean, it's, like, one of those things that, like, transcends all these groups.
It was at Cannes. It was at Cannes Film Festival, of all places.
And that's why I was so like, man, why did the Sense and Sensibility one take off? Like, this would be great if they would take it and like, oh, hey, Troma does Tom Sawyer, or, you know, they take, you know, Troma does Old Man in the Sea, or, you know, Lord of the Flies, or whatever. Like, God, that would be so funny if they took, and I think the funnier it is, like, it's even funnier when they go with, like, really well-respected literature, like something like Shakespeare. I think that makes it
imagine
even
this
better.
Just imagine this. They come out and they decide that they're going to do Troma Presents 1987.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
I think we would never be able to get Ryan back.
I really wish that had been a thing where, you know, I mean, maybe it just appeals to me on that level of, like, I like dirty jokes and I like books. But man, I just really, really would have liked to see some of this, you know, like, them, you know, oh, Dante's Inferno, or like Beowulf. Oh my god, Beowulf would have been fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah.
I can only imagine what they'd have done with that. Like, or just like say they like told some mythology stories, like the actual story of Hercules or something ridiculous like that.
Wow, I mean, that would be funny.
It just that it's like, man, how did that not take off? Because I think people would really dig that. And like, that was the thing that about this movie. The more I was looking at it, is like, this thing has a huge cult following. I mean, this is definitely a cult flick.
When I told, but, like, I actually have said that this is one of those movies that one you watch and it's just going to be like, what the fuck am I watching? But people remember it. It's just one of those movies that you'll never forget, and you just have to want to watch it again and again and again and again, till you've got, like, this is probably, if you get the right group of people, this is to them what Boondock Saints is to us.
I can imagine that. I mean, this would be a great, like, I know there's people that get together and they'll watch like movies like Showgirls and stuff that are just horrible, and they'll quote lines at each other. I could so see this movie being one of those where it's just people get together and they Rocky Horror Picture Show it. You know, like, let's watch this and let's quote these lines at each other and let's like make up ridiculous things and like, oh, they moved the chair and that chick's getting eaten out in the middle of the party. You know, like
that was so. Oh, Rosie. I think that's her name, like, Rosie, right?
I think so, yeah. I think it was like Rosa or I think it was Rosie. I think you're right. But yeah, it was just, God, it was a good flick. It was a good flick. That's a fucking way overstatement.
And that guy bashed the what's it called? I fucking forgot. The butcher, or whatever the hell he was, dressed as the milkman, bashing his head into a pig's side until he's bloody.
It just, man, it was fun. It was a good time. And I think that's one of, you know, sometimes you'll watch a movie and you're like, they had a good time making this. And they had a good time, so you kind of have to have a good time. I mean, but it's,
you know, it's Brandy actually questioned multiple times, are they really having sex in it? Because there is mouth to breasts. There is, they make the sex scene seem very realistic. Even though at some points, like, God, I think that one guy was fucking Rosie or whatever, and you could see her nude-colored undies, but they didn't try to hide them. They just let it happen.
Right. I think it's just one of those things where they just kind of, screw it. You know, we can only get, like, a take or two out of this. We don't have time to do 14 takes. Like, screw it. Just go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, man, if y'all have a chance, and you got an hour and a half to kill, go check this out. I mean, it's worth it.
You will be happy you did. At the same time, you'll probably be talking to me and Cody like, why the fuck did they talk me into this shit?
And do it with a friend. Like, do it with your wife. Do it with your girlfriend. Do it, you know, do it with your buddies. Like,
do not on a do Saturday. It, do not do it with a child near you. You will feel awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably not the best.
Brandy kept freaking out whenever Knight was next to us, and he couldn't understand any of this, so it was okay to me, but I also tried to convince her to watch it with her brother, and she said hell no, she would never do that.
I mean, I've definitely seen worse wastes of time that were, you know, supposed to be sold off as not waste of time. I mean, we all remember movies like Lost World of Jurassic Park or how goddamn terrible Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was. I mean, those were not supposed to be bad movies. This one was only ever supposed to design to be like a so bad it's good movie. So, I mean, it was definitely fun. But like I said, if you like those Toxic Avengers movies, if you like B movies, if you like watching movies ironically, you know, where you just, oh man, this is horrible, but it's funny because it's so bad. I mean, it's you can't beat it. I mean, you know, if you've watched Transformers 2 or 3 more than once just because it was so bad, I mean, this is your kind of flick. You're going to dig it. You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. It's just legitimately one of those movies. I there's nothing else that I can say about it. Just watch the damn thing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It was one of those where I was definitely glad you shot that recommendation to me.
I've been shooting it to every single one of y'all for years, and no one has ever taken me up on it until now.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes, and that's actually probably one of the more frustrating, because I know you do it to me, and I try and do it to you, and, you know, where we, like, try, because I think you and I probably, as far as, like, swapping media back and forth, I think you and I probably are the most on, like, oh, hey, Brent told me to check this out, I'll check it out, and you'll do the same back and forth with me, but like, it's frustrating whenever you have somebody where you're like, dude, you need to watch, like, I've been watching this for years. Like, again, Brewer, I know you're listening to this. I'm still telling you need to go watch Angry Video Game Nerd. I mean, I've only been watching the goddamn guy for 10 years, and I've only been telling you to go check it out for that period of time. So, you know, you should probably go watch it because it's funny and you'll enjoy it. But, you know, like that kind of thing where it's like, yeah, you're never going to go watch it, so I don't know why you worry about it, but yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, so, speaking of things that we don't know what the hell we're talking about, that was the best segue ever, right?
It was.
It was so great that it's just segueing into a segue that's a segue that we're just segueing. Now we're talking about segueing into a segue.
You know, a segue, you know, like a transition, you know, like a segue where you segue into things where it segues, you know, like you
know, speaking of segue, actually, I do have a segue about segues. Did you know that
hit me with it.
About back in 2005, 2006, they were actually considering using segues in big cities for the post office? They started it up in, what's that stupid city? Chicago. They started it up. They had people, what they would do is, it would be in the back of their vehicle. They would just drive it on out. They had the ramps and everything. They'd hop on and just go door to door with the Segway and just drop it off on some of these long streets. And everything was adjusted where they could just set the mail and grab and go, grab and go, grab and go. Up and down these busy streets so they didn't have to drive up and down these streets. And people were so stupid, they just kept falling off and hurting themselves so that they could get injury comp and ended up crashing the entire program.
Well, I know that I am never more intimidated in my life than whenever I go to the grocery store or somewhere and I see the rent-a-cop with his gun on a Segway. I know that of all the times when I feel safe and I feel that, like, there's somebody there to protect me, that's the one. Because there's nothing more badass than a guy on a Segway.
Well, protecting you, that's one thing. I completely understand. I'd rather have the guy running, you know, because I don't want him to be fat and jolly. I need a cop, not Santa, is what I'm getting at. But, come on. How great would that have been for mailmen?
And honestly, because and Brewer and I have had this conversation off the air, which, no, whatever, but the off-road Segway thing... I swear that thing that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic idea because, like, and just think of it from, like, I know it sounds stupid because everybody looks dumb on a Segway. Like, we're not treading any new ground with this. Everybody looks like a jackass on a Segway. But once you get past that, you know, if you had the off-road one, like, just think about it if you're, like, a hiker or, like, a photographer or something. It doesn't make any noise. So you can go and actually take good pictures. Or the other one I was thinking about was like, my father-in-law, who's, like, a huge deer hunter, and all of his buddies that, you know, all they're so big into deer hunting and shit. Like, they actually, like, one of the guys actually takes a bike out there and rides all the time because it's quiet, and you can go from your deer stand to, you know, back to the house and back and forth because you don't get hurt. And I was like, well, fuck, I can just... Like, imagine if they had a Segway to it. You know, it's quieter than an ATV. You can do just as much shit on it. I mean, I don't know. I was thinking, like, that's such a cool little market that I don't know that anybody gives it a chance because it's a Segway. Like, I know, they're dumb. We all, like, you look stupid. You feel stupid. I mean, but, you know,
Are you saying a Segway is a lot like the fat chick at the bar? I mean, they're fun to ride, but you don't want to be caught with one? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm glad that I slow-pitched that joke right to you.
Right over the base, and swing, and miss.
I don't know enough baseball to do this with you. Home run! You know, bunt! I don't know enough of this to do
Cracker
this
Jacks.
I wish I did. Which...
Hey, you're the one that brought up...
Root for the home team! Yeah,
you're the one that brought up slow-pitch. You...
Oh.
Oh shit.
It did.
What the hell?
Oh shit, what the hell?
Sorry, my projector just died, so my projector turned off, but my computer is still on. I don't know what the hell just happened. Well, shit. My computer.
That's right. That's right. On the air issues with Board Shenanigans.
Oh.
But it's not going to stop us from recording. From the flesh and bone computer issues be hacked, we will fight our way through this.
Well, so. I think I figured out what it was. Okay, everything's back up. Apparently, if you don't mess with it at a decent enough time, my fucking stereo system will go out. Yes, for all of you out there, just so you know, Cody may be recording on a computer, but I am currently recording on... a desktop that's connected to a receiver that's connected to a badass projector that is currently throwing a 83-inch image up on my screen. And when one of them go out, all of them fuck up.
I wanted him to turn the webcam on so he could look at my glorious self, but he's like, no, 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 I can't handle that much sexy in one room.
That's what I told you, but the truth is, yeah. Let's just say there are certain things that only your wife should see, and I don't care to see them.
Which, speaking of the wife, we went, which this actually made me really happy on a couple levels. So I think I've talked about this on the other show, but if not, whatever. Madison's like absolute favorite movie is that Bridesmaid movie. She really, really likes that flick. Like, I've watched it, I don't know how many fucking times with her, but you know, it's just like, that's like her go-to flick. Well, so whenever that Trainwreck movie came out, cause it's made by the same people, she was like, man, I really want to see this. And she kind of got in that same position I got in with Jamie Foxx and Django whenever the Amy Schumer chick went fucking nuts on gun control because there was that shooting in her theater where they were watching her movie, right? She kind of got on that same, like, God, it sucks because I want to see your movie because it looks funny, but this chick's fucking crazy and doesn't agree with me, you know. I don't agree with her position on anything, and, you know, that kind of, she kind of got in that position with me, and I was like, fuck it, let's go see it, and you know, and let's do like we do everywhere else. We both have CHLs. I'm gonna, you know, it makes me happy that I'm gonna carry a firearm into somebody who's blatantly anti-firearms movie. Like, that makes me extremely happy. So that we get to, there's that middle finger, and we'll go and enjoy it, and blah 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 blah. So there's a place here in Houston called like Showplace Grill or Showtime Grill or something. Anyway, it's essentially Alamo Draft House, but a little more swanky, which, for those of you who don't know what Alamo Draft House is, it's essentially, here's a bar where we serve really good food, and you can watch a movie. People come up, like, the waiter will come up and take your order, and you can eat and drink and watch a fucking movie. It's the greatest concept ever. So, this is kind of the same sort of deal.
Is it greater than sliced bread?
Not greater than sliced bread, but it's definitely better than
Chainsaw Toothpick? Oof.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'd put it up there with, like, flour tortillas good. Not as good as sliced bread, but definitely above, like, the bagels with all the gross-ass fucking seeds and shit on them. But anyway. So on the one hand, it was like, hey, it was kind of nice to get to, like, take our own little political agenda and middle finger their political agenda, blah, 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 blah. But pretty fucking funny movie. And I think the funniest part of the movie wasn't the chick herself. It was all the pro athletes in it, because some of them have way better acting chops than I ever anticipated. Like, I don't like LeBron James. You know, I know I'm a huge NBA fan, but I'm just not a big fan of LeBron James as far as, like, kind of his cocky attitude and da-da-da-da. He was funny as fuck in this. And honestly, you know, there's always the people as far as, like, wrestlers go where they're like, oh, well, maybe they'll be the next Rock. You know what? If John Cena can actually act as well as he does in this movie, in other movies, he's legitimately going to have a career as an actor. Because, oh my God, was he funny. He was the best part of this movie to me. He was legitimately really, really funny in it.
He's so really good, yeah. The funny thing I find about John Cena is people hate on him because they want to. They just want something to hate. They hate the fact that he has become one of the biggest stars in the world the past 10 years. But, I mean, wrestling-wise, sure, there's a little bit to be desired. But whenever he gets in the mode, he can act. He can do really good especially whenever he's playing himself or that comedy character. He's really good at the comedy character.
I guess as far as, like, wrestling goes, which I know as everybody falls asleep sitting at home, I think as far as wrestling goes, all he does is he filled a vacuum, and I think he gets a lot of hate for filling that vacuum. Yes, I agree. I gotten just as tired as a lot of people did of, like, he's the only person to be on top, but I think it was whatever, you know, best decision at the time or whatever.
Okay, you know. So speaking of being on top, this actually works perfectly. Amy Schumer, that was her movie, right?
Uh-huh.
And in the movie, she has sex with John Cena, right?
Multiple times, yes.
Did you hear who she had sex with in real life that she was dating at one point?
Wasn't she dating Dolph Ziggler?
Yes. And you know what's the funny part about it? Do you know why they broke up?
I do not.
The sex was too athletic. She is a, I wouldn't say small girl, I wouldn't say big girl, but she's she's a good sized girl. She's not one of those like tiny people. She's not like 300 pounds. But whenever she first started having sex with Dolph Ziggler, the very first time, he lifted her up and just started throwing her everywhere and just going crazy on her. And she was like, oh, wow, no one's ever treated me like this before. This is pretty awesome. And then after it happened probably for about a month, she's like, man, I don't know if I can hang. And she broke up with him because she couldn't hang with having sex with him.
Think about it. Like, okay, for those of you who don't know who Dolph Ziggler is, he's a pro wrestler. He calls himself
the show off.
But as far as, like, I guess the best way I can describe Dolph Ziggler is, like, whenever he gets hit, you know, it's called taking a bump or whatever, he takes the most ridiculous, over-the-top ones in the world. Well, like, you know, he could sell anything.
What he does is he's not taking the bump, per se. He's selling the bump. It's like if you walked into, I don't know, if you walked into a grocery store looking to buy a watermelon and the guy somehow just convinced you that you needed a new car to go with the watermelon to drive down to a patch where they have even more cantaloupe that you could pick, where you can just... It's like, you only need the watermelon, but he will sell you the farm.
I mean, he's very, very good at the making somebody look good, because he takes, you know, he sells these things great. He's very good at that.
He's the kid in high school that you thumped, and they cried for 30 minutes and said, oh, my arm, ah, and acted like you just took a chainsaw to them.
But, like, just to see, like, as athletic as that guy is and the way that he does that, I can only imagine what this is like. It's a funny image to me as far as, like, him like, having sex. Because, like, just imagine him flopping around when he finishes. Like, Jesus Christ.
You know what I find really funny about that, though? One, Amy Schumer, he has sex with her, cool, whatever. There was a porn star on Twitter. She was like a 19-year-old porn star. I think she's 23 now, has a kid, and retired from the industry. But her name was BB Jones. He got in trouble at one point because he took a photo with her in her hotel room, and let's just say the clothes weren't all there on her, and apparently got a little bit of backlash from WWE about, you need to be more respectful on Twitter. You can't. It's this is the same chick that's also banged or she may not have banged him, but Rob Gronkowski or whatever, the football player.
Mm-hmm.
She was up in her penthouse suite with him, wearing only his jersey, and putting a couple of photos on Twitter at the time. So, apparently, he is a porn star worthy. Though I think he's dated a couple of porn stars.
Well, I mean, I think whenever you're in that kind of an industry, as far as, like, whatever it is, whatever kind of entertainment industry, like, whether it's adult industry or, you know, just whatever, I think that people who are in that kind of all gravitate to one another because they all have that same super hectic kind of schedule, and they all understand what it's like. You have to, you know, you have to really put on a show, and then, like, you know, sometimes you just want to go home and sit in your big oversized t-shirt and, like, pet your cat. So,
which could be a double entendre.
That was the joke, yes, Brent.
Anyway.
But the one thing I will say about that train wreck movie, which it's pretty funny. I mean, you know, if y'all check it out, or if the girlfriend wants to take, well, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever wants to take you to it, it's worth it. But the one thing I will say that I enjoy about it, and I was talking to Madison about it, was it's not so much that the movie was good, it was that it kind of highlights a trend that I've been noticing that I really like, as far as the chicks don't have to be perfect anymore. Like, they can be these, you know, they're not 100%. Because I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, where you're watching a show and, like, you know, the fat guy has the absolute perfect MILF wife with, like, the rockin' tits, and there's no way that she'd be married to that guy. But now it's kind of cool that it's gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, this chick's kind of not perfect at all, but she's still who she is, and maybe, just maybe, we're getting that much closer as a group of people to realize that women don't have to be this weird, idealized, perfect. They are what they are, and let them be that. And I kind of hope that happens. I mean, Grant, in this movie, she's a horrible person. That's fine. Like, you know, whatever. And that's, you know, it's a caricature and all that shit. But it's kind of nice that we're getting there. That Sarah Silverman, you know, funny chick with a, you know, razor-sharp tongue, and, you know, that's not perfect kind of thing is getting to where it's okay. Because I wouldn't hate it if my kid gets to a point where they realize, you know, where they're like, oh, I don't have to be Barbie. You know, I don't have to be this. And because I think guys have already, you know, that's come and gone. You don't have to be the perfect guy anymore. Like, that whole thing's, that's never been a deal. But as far as, like, that weird double standard, I think that that might be melting a little bit. I think it's going to take years and years for it to, if it ever does go away. But it is really refreshing to kind of, you know, like, hey, chicks can be imperfect, or chicks can be badasses. You know, they don't have to be perfect, because they aren't. They aren't. They're, none of us are. So that was really my favorite part about it, was, like, this chick's obviously flawed, but she's still the star of this movie. And she's still, like, you know, she's reasonably attractive. I mean, she's not my favorite person in the world. Honestly, knowing her politics kind of takes a lot away from me personally, but she's reasonably attractive, and, you know, she's funny, which helps, and, you know, all that kind of shit. And I kind of enjoy that more, because it's like, you know what, that's kind of what matters more. It's not the fact that, you know, she's a model.
Well, you know, I'm going to agree with you that I do like the trend, but I'm also going to have to turn around and say, at the beginning of this, I was really expecting Ryan to chime in and do one of his old-timey voice about, I remember back in my day, or you to pull a Pepperidge Farm, remembers? Like, that's what I was really thinking you were about to say.
Would you like me to? Would that make you feel better?
Yes, I would.
Hey, you down there. Do you remember whenever a lady was a lady? Whenever they walked into the grocery store looking for something to cook in front of their Electrolux? Well, Pepperidge Farm remembers. We remember whenever you used to be able to sit on the porch drinking your iced tea, rocking back and forth while the sorghum came in, and the little missus was inside making dinner, doing your laundry while you discussed economics and politics with the men outside. Then you retreated to the billiard room, where you could talk about banging that girl at the office, but not actually have to see her. Yes, Pepperidge Farm remembers the American way, and so can you. Better?
Much happy better. Now? Yes. that should be an outro.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Anyway, yeah, so, I have another, let's see, what else sounds good to talk about? What do you think of Donald Trump running for president?
I think that people that openly support him are complete idiots, and honestly, if I have to, everybody get your tinfoil hats and your black helicopters ready. I honestly kind of think that he's the foil to get Hillary Clinton elected, in a way. I really do. I think he's the one that, you know, everybody's going, oh, hey, look at this. And people that are stupid enough to believe his politics are going to kind of push for him. And I think he's realistically going to either back out, because he's not going to get elected. There's no way he's
going to
get elected.
He's going to say something so dumb that he just gives up. Like,
right.
Like, but what happened last time. But I really hope that he lasts until the, I don't know, 3 or 4 debates. Like, whenever there's down to, like, 3 to 5 people.
I mean, the biggest thing that I think's really frustrating is, like, people that I kind of like and respect are like, endorsing him. And I'm like, wait a minute. So this guy's obviously, like, you know, and it's like only, and I know I'm quoting a fucking internet meme here, but only a nation of economic illiterates could, like, really push behind this guy who's filed bankruptcy, like, 4 or 5 times. Like, what is the appeal of this dude? Like, I don't, and all it is it's the same thing with him as it is with Bernie Sanders.
You know,
he's different.
I can tell you, yeah, that's the whole point. That's the exact reason. He doesn't have this filter where he has to double speak and, oh, well, I say this, but I mean this. He's not doing that. He's one of the few politicians out there right now that are actually speaking their mind. The last one to do this and get any kind of recognition was Ron Paul, except Ron Paul was actually smart about what he said.
That's the thing, you know, we're going into the whole thing where it's like we're talking like the Democrats or Republicans and there's no real difference between the two, and there's such a small slice of the pie. Like, God, if anybody would give any third party person any chance at all, I think the world would get caught on fire because holy shit, what a different concept. Now, I'm not saying I completely am in behind him, but honestly, I wish somebody would throw some money Jesse Ventura's way. Like, I don't agree with all of his stuff by any stretch of the imagination, but I agree with enough of it where, man, I think people would really kind of get behind him. Because, fuck me, does he have a, like, look at his spin on shit. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to have to say the one person that I really, I'm hoping he does anything like his fucking father did. That's freaking Rand Paul. I really hope that he actually stops with the trying to play the games. I mean, maybe his dad finally talked some sense into him, because his dad just came out a couple of days ago and said, you know, the only person that's even going to come close to giving you anything that even close to what I wanted is my son. He's the only one that believes in your freedoms. And, you know, the last debate kind of proved that they're trying to crush Rand Paul as much as they can. They went through and actually timed how much everybody got. And if it wasn't for the fact that Rand Paul actually butted in for what he did to Christie, that crushed Christie. Funny. Like, Christie just went out and pretty much said, no, we're going to spy on you even more whenever I'm president. And, okay, well, that gets rid of Christie right then and there. He just proved how fucking stupid he is. And Rand didn't even have to do much to goad him.
But honestly, as far as entertainment value, that was the only entertainment I got out of that entire debate, was just watching Rand Paul completely destroy Chris Christie.
You know, I liked him destroying Chris Christie, but the other thing that I liked him doing, he came off kind of bad, but at the same time where he sits there and got Donald Trump to admit, yeah, I buy politicians. I gave Hillary Clinton money and I told her be at my wedding. And guess what? She was at my wedding. Getting him to admit that made me laugh, because it's like, man, you're just admitting that you're going to pay people off. I mean,
I really, and Brent and I have had this conversation several times off the air. Like, he has kind of always been a Rand Paul believer, and I haven't been.
I'm more of a Ron Paul believer, but he grew up in the same house. There's got to be something that the Fourth Amendment debate alone, that Fourth Amendment remark alone, instantly gave him a little bit more credibility in my eyes. And there are some things that he says, but whenever you go back and if you actually listen to some of the things he was saying originally, like, he's been against Iran sanctions this entire time up until recently when he's trying to run for president. He's actually quoted his father, I don't remember the exact quote, but basically something to the effect of, if you're going to keep putting sanctions on them, you might as well declare war against them. And I much prefer negotiations to war. So negotiations before sanctions, something like that. He's said that in the past, and he was so fucking good on it. I really hope that that's what he sticks by, but it's just like also on the Cuba issue. He was one of those people that said, God, it was against Cruz or Rubio. They're sitting there telling him, oh, well, you're an isolationist, you're an isolationist. And they're going against his father, calling him an isolationist year after year after year. And Rand Paul turned around whenever the Cuba deal was announced that, hey, we're going to start diplomatic relations with them. And everybody's like, no, we need to keep them tied up. They're horrible for humans, blah, blah, blah. And he sits there and he says, you know what you're doing is isolationism. You're going against them. You're such an isolationist. And it's so fucking funny to me that he freaking nailed them with their own word that was made out to be such a bad word. But when it's used on them, they're like, oh, it was just so funny, the reactions. God, he could be so fucking good, but he's trying to play politics, and that's what's going to cost him.
The thing that frustrates me about Rand Paul so much is he's not his dad. And I don't know if it'll take him like
I don't think there will ever be anybody like his dad. You could give a person 100 years, but even his dad was bad on a couple of things.
Right, right. And that is the one thing that I do feel. Like, I've got to say, like, yes, I identify with libertarianism, and I agree with a lot of the ideology behind it, but And I like Ron Paul. You have to like Ron Paul, but he is not the fucking Jesus Christ of libertarianism that he gets fucking told off to be. There's certain things he did that I'm not crazy about, and there's certain things that he does do that I'm not crazy about. But all in all, like, he's the best, closest.
He's the person that brought the most people over to libertarianism in this century.
And
century it was Murray Rothbard. This century it was him.
The thing that I really hope, and I hope you being kind of a believer and like thinking that he'll do it, I hope you prove me wrong. Like, I don't want to be right on this. Like, I really hope that I'm wrong and that halfway through he pulls his shirt open and like his freedom oriented like Superman logo shows on his shirt and he just fucking starts blasting down people. But I don't see it.
You know what I'm hoping that he does, especially after what just happened with his father? I'm hoping he says, I want my dad to be my vice president candidate, and you know what? We're going to go and we're going to destroy the establishment. I would love to see that, because if his dad even has a small little tug on him to help him, he'll turn out to be a great president.
And that's the only thing that I see with all of them, between Democrats and Republicans on both sides, because I think they're so similar and so the same, and there's nothing different. He's the one small little bit of hope I have out of any of them. That's the thing, is like, apparently Ted Cruz just keeps getting more and more traction, and oh my God, do I not want that fucking fascist pit bull to get elected.
You know why he won't be president? This is honestly just, if you look at him, look at every single president in history, there hasn't been a president that looks
like a gremlin.
Exactly. Every president has been a good looking guy. He's the first one that has looked like, if he becomes president, he will look like, well, like a gremlin, like you just said. But I think people are so into, oh, well, we need a person that's going to look good for the country. They're going to be powerful. They're going to be a symbol. Same reason I don't think Christie's going to win, just because he's a fat slob.
Well, and I feel like that's one of the things that gets... You know, then you can look at that, because generally the taller candidate wins. The previous, you know, the candidate that had been elected prior almost always gets reelected. I mean, the odds are never in the favor of that other person. But again, with the, oh my God, I wish that just other parties had a chance so people could have it. I really wish that, because even if you don't, and I've said this before, but... You know, the best debates are the ones between the third party candidates, because, you know, when you have your libertarians and you have your justice parties and you have your green parties and, you know, you have your reform parties, you have all those people on there. Those are the best debates to me, because, like, oh my God, every one of these will be a better president than the ones that are presented to you, you know, on your index card of allowable opinion. And Brent knows exactly where I stole that from.
Oh, I love that quote. Now, what I see happening, I see in the next couple of years a couple of possibilities. One, if Hillary Clinton wins, shortly after that, pretty much everybody will just go ape shit, and they will not keep following her. If Bernie Sanders wins, he will try socialism. It will fail horrifically, and everybody will listen to the third party candidate after that. If anybody in the Republican Party, with the exception of maybe one or two, win, it's going to be business as usual. Nothing's going to change. And the only person there are only two people right now that really show that there's going to be some major change if they win. One is Donald Trump, because he is going to end up getting us into a bunch of fucking wars that we really don't care to be in. And building a fucking wall that's both improbable and pointless, and just in general. Or Rand Paul, he's the best of the worst options, and he's not even close to the worst option. Like, he's the best, he's the best overall candidate right now, policy-wise, just in general. He's trying to be too flip-floppy.
The best thing that I saw in this presidential debate, and that I'm seeing, is...
Well, you know that... I'm sorry, I just realized I don't think I ever got to the whole point that I was making. They did exactly to him what they did to his father. He had, like, 4.5 minutes which was lower than anybody, and he had to quip in there and throw in jabs at people to even get talked to. And they did the exact same thing to freaking Ron. And I'm looking at, like, I look through a bunch of different websites. I look at Fox, CNN, all of these, and I go through and I look at where their polls were. You know, there are people that were way below him that are still below him that are mentioned in the polls. There are people that were above him that are now below him that are mentioned in the polls. Rand Paul's not anywhere to be fucking found. It's exactly like whenever the person that came in second place to, what was it, John McCain, and who was the other one? Rick Perry, not Rick Perry. Who? Anyway.
It was Santorum that time, I think.
Okay, well, I don't think it was Santorum. Either way, he came in second, and they talked about the winner of the debate, and coming in third place was John McCain, and it's like, wait a sec, okay, so where's second? You didn't talk about the man who came in second, but you talked about the man who came in first and third, and even fourth, but you refused to talk about the one man who made more people freaking talk to him with, I think he had like 3 minutes out of all of them, or out of that entire debate, had like 3 minutes, and he came in second. So in 3 minutes, he made a... If he would have actually have gotten time to talk, imagine how many people he would have turned.
Well, and that's the thing that I think is just... It's really frustrating the way that the system is structured. And I mean, this will be covered on this show and on the other show like multiple times. Like I hate the current system. I hate the way that it functions. I hate the way that it ostracizes, you know, any other new ideas at all. But the one thing that I will say that I feel is a definite positive out of all of it is I really, and I think like a lot of people, just assume, yeah, Jeb Bush is going to be the winner of the Republican Party. And man, unless just by some miracle or complete backhand puppet politics, he'll be the one that wins. I don't see him winning because he is terrible. He's not good at all at this. Like, he's not a good public speaker. He's not good at debates. He doesn't do well under pressure. And thank Almighty Cthulhu for that. Because that's the last thing we need in office is another Clinton or another Bush.
You know, what was that freaking... Rand Paul had a quote that I actually loved in that entire debate. And I had to actually tip my hat to him. I don't want my gun, or I don't want my marriage or my guns registered in Washington.
Right.
Quite possibly one of my favorite quotes. But then he turns around, and I think it was the question about, what do you want to do about the religious freedoms of people? Well, they still have the freedom. If you don't have to, like, they don't have to bake them a cake if they don't want to. And would you really want it? Like, all he had to do, though, is if he would have worded that a little differently and said, do you really want someone who doesn't want to bake your cake baking your cake? Are they going to be the best cake just because you're forcing them at gunpoint? What if they did something that you don't agree with? And like, I'm using freaking Penn Jillette's example. Let them say, you know what, I don't want gays in here. I don't want to take gay money for wedding cakes. Okay, well, a baker down the street will take the gay money. And guess what? There are a lot of people who will be like, you know what? I'm not gay, but I still support the gay rights. And they'll go down the street. So who cares if they don't want to bake the gays a cake? They'll go out of business because they won't have the money. The money won't come in.
I just really hope that people look at it and maybe, or just, and this is my hope every fucking time, maybe people will stop and realize, like, wow, these cannot be the best options presented to us. Because, I mean, realistically, other than Rand, I don't see any big swinging juggernaut that should convince either person that this is the person that's going to fix it. There's no way that anybody can think that. And
I do like the tax code idea on Rand, too.
I mean, the
one-page tax code?
Right.
I mean, how great would that be? It's like, oh, well, I'm now a tax expert. Just read the page. I'm a tax expert. Here, I file it. Give you my money. I'm done. Perfect.
The one thing that I will say is I really, really hope as, you know, the political season starts heating up, we really start to hear from the other parties, especially. I mean, because I don't know if Gary Johnson's going to run again. I really don't. I really hope.
They've been talking about it, but I don't know if he's going to actually do it right now.
I mean, I hope he does, because I think he was a hell of a good candidate. I mean, I really liked him. This Steve Kerbal guy, I like him quite a bit. I did, after hearing about him on the Lions of Liberty one, I did a lot of reading on him. I think he'd be a pretty decent option. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the guy's name. I really, truly can't. But the same guy that ran for the Justice Party last time apparently threw his hat in. I mean, I'd be really interested in seeing some of these other options that might be presented to people, just because I think it'd be interesting. And I really, really, it'd be great if they got some freaking airtime. Like, and that's actually one thing I was thinking about is, you know, because so much of it is, you know, it's the way that the media is run. And I know we're getting to the, you know, there's so much that is independent media than it is able to get to. But, man, I almost wish that, you know, just in order to spite your American-run NBCs and ABCs and whatnot, like, I almost wish that somebody like Al Jazeera USA would just, like, you know what, let's run the third-party stuff. Just to really throw them. Just to throw them. Like, I know they probably never will, but God, that'd be awesome.
You know, I hope Steve Kerbal, the one that you were talking about, I hope he actually gets what he was planning on. Right now, he's trying to garner enough support where and goad enough of the right now it's the Republicans, but he's trying to goad them into a debate. And I don't know where I heard it, but I think it was on his Facebook page, but Rand Paul apparently is doing something over the next couple of months with Bernie Sanders. They're going to debate each other. Bernie Sanders, Rand Paul, doing town hall debates across the country. I want to hear those.
Like, that would be awesome.
Like, you're not hearing, oh, well, I think we should move the marginal tax rate to 33%. No. 33.5% is where we need to be. You're not hearing that. You're hearing one guy say, you know what? Capitalism, that's all well and good, but the tax rate for all the businesses, 90%. Then you're hearing the other guy turn around and say, you know what? 15% flat. They're going to pay 15%. They're not going to get out of it with donations. They're not going to get it out of it because of this or that. I mean, hell, Facebook last year, I think, got like, what, $5 billion in credit? So they actually got money back from the government. They're making all this money and they got money back from the IRS. Like, how the fuck did they pull that off? Like, that makes no fucking sense. That makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah. The
what was it? HP got a bailout and money back from the government?
I don't understand. I mean, no matter where you sit on any issue, on anything, whatever your sacred cow is, can we not all just stop and agree that maybe, like, big business corporate welfare is not a good idea? Like, nobody wins from that. Like, nobody across the board wins other than those group of 15 or 20 people that own those businesses. I mean, I don't understand why people somehow think that's a good system. I mean, and across whatever your politics are, like, can we not all just come to that agreement? The tax exempt shit and the freaking corporate welfare are the biggest loads of horse shit on the fucking planet.
That's the whole reason why I say that I'm just hoping that Rand does even the tiniest bit and actually wins, because his plan was so much better. Just everybody pays 15%, period. That's it, 15%.
Yeah. I definitely like the flat tax or fair tax or whatever version of it
you're going to put. Granted, I think the best tax possible would be a 0% tax where everybody puts their money together and says, hey, I'm gonna put my money in for a lottery. I'm going to put $5 in this paycheck with the hopes of winning $100 million. And everybody just keeps putting it in, and once a month just draw someone's name, and that person's instantly a millionaire. And they get to choose if they want to keep playing the lottery or not. You know, that would make so much more money.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I like that idea, just because it really does seem like it would work. Because who doesn't want that? Like, the smart people who don't want to go for the lottery, cool, whatever. But it seems fairer. Because if I really want to give the government money, I would rather do it that way and get the chance of getting some money back and winning something.
I mean, I know that it's the, you know, anti-government, you know, whatever person in me, but so, you know, I'm almost at the point where it's like, I just can't, you know, oh, you know, we'll update the tax code. It's like, yeah, you can make it better, but as so much of me is like, there shouldn't be any income taxes. There shouldn't be taxes on the roads. There should, like, that's so hard for me to get past.
I think there are two major things that I would love to do if I was dictator for the day. I would take the income tax and, granted, abolishing it's going to be almost impossible, do Rand Paul's fair and flat tax 15%. And after I got rid of that, I would say, you know what? We're also going to be done with taking the taxes out of people's checks. They need to pay it themselves. At every quarter, they go in and they decide, this is how much I have to pay. Okay, this is how much I have in my account. Okay, send them the money. Because guaranteed, at the end of the day, if you actually had, say, $1,500 is what you got, and you saw, I have to send in $150 to the government every time I get this $1,500 check. What are they doing with it? You would worry about what the hell they were doing with it. A lot more than they are now.
I just guess I can't get past the fact. And, like, Mattis and I have been talking about it so much. And, man, I cannot... Enjoy the sound of my dog drinking over there, because that's got to sound really awesome. But the... Jesus Christ! Like, how long are you going to do this?
That's the loudest dog lapping water sound I've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, did you get my picture?
Yes, that was really funny. I thought this was going to last for a second. Are you good, dog? She's just looking at me like, fuck you. Anyway, so... One of the things that, and like Madison and I have talked about it a lot, and I could not be more proud of her as far as just figuring, like, her, you know, like, I, you know, she lives with me, so she has to hear all my bullshit all the time. But I'm really glad that she's, like, kind of come to her own as far as stuff, but she, like, seriously has asked me, she's like, how the hell do you get people to realize how much money that they earn is taken out in taxes? Like, why does nobody care that 39% of all of your income is lost in taxes? How does nobody care? I don't know. I don't know how nobody cares. I don't know how it just seems like, oh, another 0.5% is okay. Oh, another 2% is okay. Oh, more is okay. I don't know how you get people to care. I really hope that they do. And, you know, like, all the things I always hope where it's like, oh, the younger people are voting, the younger people are paying attention, the younger people seem to care, the people, like, in our age demographic where we're really being affected by it now. I mean, fuck, you bought a house, and you know all the bullshit you gotta fight with, like, all the shit that comes out of my check. I mean, it's got, somewhere, there's gotta be that point where people are like, enough is enough. Like, and I hope we see it.
I really see. Like I said, in the next couple of years, no matter what person becomes president, I really think that this may be the last time that we only see two parties legitimately in the debates. It may be the last time we only see... I think that the Republican and the Democratic Party are about to die.
I really, really thought that this was going to be the year. Like, and I've said it. I really thought this was going to be the year where a third party guy had a chance, and the more I'm seeing it, I think this is going to, instead of just being the year where the third party guy is given the chance that they deserve, I think this is going to be the year where people really realize, wow, both sides are fucking terrible.
I think this is the last year that we're going to be seeing the two parties for one reason. There's a crash coming. It's been predicted by a lot of really well-known economic people. Economists, whatever, they've been seeing that there's going to be a crash, not in a housing bubble, not in a not in the dot-com bubble, but in the dollar bubble itself. They're calling it a dollar bubble. It's going to crash, and we're going to end up quite possibly just like what happened in Greece, where everybody's going to realize the government is full of shit, and there's nothing we can do to fix it without really having to take an internal look into ourselves. Like, what happened in Greece was the people were so reliant on just getting more money and more money and more money from the government because, oh, they get the health care is taken care of and their social security and their retirement, and they were retiring younger and younger, and they were being subsidized by everyone else, but they weren't working to make it up for it, and now they're about to lose everything. They think, oh, well, our retirement's guaranteed because the government's going to pay for it. The government just lost all of their money. It's going to happen here, too, if we don't change very quickly. And with how the Fed is acting, I mean, how many years can you have a 0% interest rate? How many before it just everything goes to shit? I mean, really, Cody, right now, if you had $100,000 that you could go and you could put, well, not $100,000 because I think that's what the FDIC insures, $1 million. If you had $1 million right now and you could take it to the bank and they can insure it for $100,000, that $100,000 you would always be able to get that money back if the bank failed. Would you rather do that or take it to another government who has a negative 0.2 interest rate where you will lose 0.2% of it the longer you keep it in there, but you still have all that money?
Well, and that's the problem with the fractional reserve banking system and all. I mean, there's so many issues, and we're in such a need of a renaissance, and it's the point where these things have been going on for so long, and now we're really seeing, like, God, this is gonna get bad, and it's gonna get bad. And, you know, I'm not trying to be the doomsdayer and all that shit, but it's gonna get rough. There's no getting around it if something doesn't change. And I want something to change. You want something to change. Everybody wants something to change. Well, you have to actually go fucking change it. You actually have to, like, try and pay attention and read and learn and do something. You stop watching your stupid fucking shows and pay some attention. It matters. All this shit matters. I know that it's boring. I know that it seems boring, but it's only because I think you've been conditioned that it's boring. Like, only old people vote, and only... No, they don't. Pay some fucking attention and learn how instrumental it is to your life. I mean, economics are the lifeblood of everything. And oh my God, I didn't know that I cared about them until I actually started to learn about it. And oh my God, is it interesting to me? It's not that boring, droll shit that they taught me in high school. None of it is. Just pay some fucking attention, y'all. Like, think, damn it, think. Like, go outside of your own thing. Like, the debates are heating up. That season is coming. Pay some attention to it. Like, pay attention to it now. Vote in the primaries. Get registered to vote now. All that shit. Figure out some fucking candidates you like. Figure out why you like them. Don't know what an issue is? Well, maybe you should go look it up. Don't know what fracking is? Maybe you should learn about it. That it's kind of your responsibility to pay a little bit of attention so that you actually have a fucking clue and you can invest in this stuff. Because it's going to matter, and it's going to matter sooner than later.
You know what I find really funny about all of this? And you've been on to me about this for years and years, and it's mostly because I really don't care about what most people say because they are so full of shit on both sides. I think this is actually the year that I'm going to get up and actually go vote. I've never voted before, and it's not for a lack of paying attention to the candidates like most people. I pay attention to the candidates. Heck, I think I'm the one that got you into Tom Woods, and that help spur us into getting into Lions of Liberty and all the other people. And I've never paid attention so much to all the people as I am now, but I was paying attention and I just didn't care what they said anymore, because until I started listening to, like, Tom Woods and Mark Clare on the Lions of Liberty, I never realized the reason I didn't care was because they really do sound the exact same. Like, there's the one has, we want abortions. One's, oh, we don't want abortions. Okay, well, what about taxes? Oh, 33%. 33.5%. Okay, what about war? Oh, well, we should only go to war in cases where we have to defend the world. And the other one is, oh, well, we only need to go to war to protect our interests. Okay, so everything is the exact fucking same except for abortion, guns. Heck, even the Republicans, some of them want to take the guns away because they're afraid that that's what's going to end up overthrowing them. But it's like five issues are different between the two, and everything else is the same. They're okay with getting bigger and badder and screwing us over. But the people who actually, up until I started listening to some of the libertarians, I didn't even know about some of this shit, that there are actually people out there who want to give you back freedom. They don't want to just screw you over. They don't want bigger government. They want to keep taking it and getting it smaller.
And I think that's the thing that I don't know that I can illustrate to people very well. Like, I feel like I've been very fortunate in the fact that I've, you know, for instance, Kevin and I are very good friends. And he's very politically oriented. And he's the one that's done a lot to feed me into getting into it. And I feel that, like, Brent and I have been very fortunate in the fact that we both pay attention. And we're constantly, like, he'll listen to this, we'll do that. Like, oh, have you read this Lou Rockwell article? Like, oh, man, I just found this Lysander Spooner book. Like, we keep doing that with each other. And I kind of feel like that helps more than anything, is if you find somebody that at least is very similar, or is at the same level of you, and you start to kind of learn together, then that helps. That helps more than anything. If you can just kind of pick a buddy and or somebody that either if they know more, just learn with them, because there's always something to learn. And I think that's done more for me than anything, is because we both kind of follow that same path of like, oh, dude, you should check this one out. Oh, you should listen to this one. Oh, well, man, I don't know that I like this guy, but I like these points. Or like, you'll be like, well, no, you're not seeing this picture of it. You know, and it's really good. And that's why the old guys sat around and talked politics, because
there are some people like you're saying, like on Tom Woods. Like, there are things that Michael Malice says that I completely agree with. But then there are times that he says stuff that I'm like, what a dipshit. I mean, Michael Malice has some good points, but he's such a dipshit. But it doesn't discount the fact that he actually does have an opinion. And that's the reason why I like some of these. And it, like you're saying, like, that's why it's good to find someone who cares about the same things as you. And then it'll help, you will both grow stronger in learning. Like, perfect example, like I was saying, Tom Woods and Michael Malice, they have opposing points on a lot of things. Like, Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson, just to name a couple of them. And Cody, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about on those two. They're about to have the Hamilton debate soon?
Yeah, I think that's
coming up. I think that's in quick. December?
Yeah, that's coming up. But yeah. Quick.
So they completely oppose each other, and I think Tom Woods just had an episode this past week, which would be probably like 8/11 or through 8/16 or something like that, where he had two people come on, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Bob Murphy and someone. Anyway, they came on, and they argued for and against Rand Paul, and I think it was Michael Malice. Fucking asshole, I swear, he's everywhere. Yeah, but yeah, they went back and forth, and they're destroying each other in, like, they're going back and forth, and both are trying to chase the other one down with their points. And at the end, it's they had moments where it could have easily, if you would have talked to the wrong person that way, would have just went to hell. But they end up at the end, and they're like, you know what, it was really good to talk to you. It's really nice to talk to you. It does, just because you have differing opinions doesn't mean they don't have to be said and that they shouldn't be said. Because, I mean, you and Ryan have differing opinions. Me and Ryan have differing opinions. Me and you have differing opinions, but we still talk about them. And at the end of the day, it makes all three of us stronger, even if we don't agree with the other person still. We just agree with our point a little bit more in our own way. So,
I mean, I think more than anything, that's the important thing. Is, like I said, try and pay attention as the political season comes on. If you're new to it or if you hadn't given a fucking years, you know, maybe it's time to, and maybe it's time to find somebody else that might give a fuck to. You know, that dude, that guy that's sex to you at work. You know, the wife. You know, is the kid old enough to vote or to start thinking about it? Just maybe it's time to start paying attention, especially if you can find somebody that you want to discuss it with, that really helps. I mean, because it's good to do that with somebody. But, you know, political season's on us. You're going to hear more about it from definitely from your favorite, you know, media moguls that occupy your iPod right now. You definitely are going to hear more about it from us. But, I mean, that's the best thing that I can say about it, is just try and pay attention. It's going to matter. So, anyway, that's really about all I got. Brent, do you have any parting words to leave our illustrious listening audience with?
Why, yes, I do. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then he created man. And then, just because man had nothing, no opinions of their own, he created politicians. And now we're all sheep.
Amen. All right. 3, 2, 1, stop.
Good God, what are you doing? Put that down! Try something with more protein. I always use boardshenanigans.wordpress.com or facebook.com/boardshenanigans or on our iTunes feed. Now, why did I have my top off for this?